Thank you very much. I apologize for being a few minutes late, but I just came from a rally at the state capitol with the governor, lieutenant governor, Senator Ernst, Congressman King, and others to defund Planned Parenthood. And I was very, very proud to be the only presidential candidate who not only stood up there and talked about how we have to defund Planned Parenthood, but talked about the reality that what Planned Parenthood is doing. What Planned Parenthood is doing, if you look at those videos, and I know this because I wrote the law, what Planned Parenthood is doing, it was described by the doctors in those videos, is something called a partial birth abortion. And those were done, in this case, to protect the vital organs so they could harvest the baby's organs for research and other types of nefarious things. Planned Parenthood shouldn't just be defunded. Planned Parenthood is breaking the law, federal law, and need to be prosecuted under federal law. People ask me, why am I running? Because we need someone in Washington, D.C. who can get things done, someone who can lead. I've led on the issue. Everybody knows how, the leadership I provided on the issue of life, on the issue of marriage, and we've gotten things done. You talk about the partial birth abortion statute, very important piece of legislation. Why? Because the United States Supreme Court said in a Nebraska statute, a partial birth statute in Nebraska passed, that banning partial birth abortion was unconstitutional. Well, most people, when they have a court decision that is against what they believe, you know what they do? Well, they do what most Republican presidential candidates have done in the case of the marriage issue. You know what they said? Well, it's the law of the land. It's time to move on. When the Supreme Court acts in an unconstitutional way, it is not the law of the land, and the last thing we need to do is move on. We need to stand up and fight. And I did. We passed a law in direct contravention to what the Supreme Court ruled. We passed a law. It was my bill. I led the fight on the floor. President Bush signed it. It went to the United States Supreme Court. And in that law, we laid out chapter and verse why the court was wrong. Because, ladies and gentlemen, where in the United States Constitution does it say that the Supreme Court is the superior branch of government? Every branch of government, when I took my oath of office as a senator and a House member, I pledged to uphold the Constitution of the United States. Every congressman, every senator, every president has an obligation to be faithful to the Constitution. And when one branch of government gets it wrong, as Congress and the president occasionally do, it is incumbent upon the court to put them back in place. Conversely, when the Supreme Court gets it wrong, it is incumbent upon the president and the Congress to put them back in place. I'm the only person in this race who has done that, and the Supreme Court backed down, and that's why partial birth is illegal today. And we need leadership on other issues. We are at a point in time in our country's history that 4 years ago when I was standing on this stage, we would have never imagined. What's happening around the world, the threats that are rising against America, not just from Iran and ISIS, but China and Russia, and yes, even Central and South America. This president has not just turned a blind eye, he has deliberately empowered the enemy through his actions. He's empowered Russia by not holding up to our treaties with Ukraine. He's empowered Syria. He's empowered Iran. He's empowered ISIS. He's empowered China. Every step of the way, he has been soft with our enemies and been very harsh to our allies. We need a leader who will stand for the principles of our country and for our own national security, not to placate our enemies, but to stand with our allies to make sure that our interests are defended. Again, there's nobody in this race that has a record that I do on national security. Just about 3 months ago, ISIS published a magazine. They do on a monthly basis, I'm told. But 3 months ago, I took notice because 3 months ago, my picture was in their magazine. And it was under the headline, "In the Words of Our Enemy." And it was my picture right underneath that, next to a quote of mine, where I laid out who they are. And I laid out very clearly, as I have in speeches, why and how they can be defeated. That put me on ISIS enemy list. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nobody else in this race who has been in that on that list. And certainly, unfortunately, neither is the President of the United States or Hillary Clinton. Why am I on that list? Because for the last dozen years after 9/11, I have spent time and treasure to understand the nature of our enemy. Those sanctions that brought Iran to the bargaining table, that crushed them and forced them to think about negotiating away at least part of their nuclear program. I was the author of those sanctions 10 years ago. I fought for those sanctions. And you know who fought against me? Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and John Kerry. And I beat them. We won, and those sanctions were put in place. We need a leader who can do, who's going to stand up for the pride of America, who's going to stand up to ISIS, has a plan to defeat ISIS, not to contain them. We contain ISIS. All we do is empower ISIS to recruit more people here in America, as well as around the world, to join their jihad. We must take back their land. We must destroy their state. If we do not, the incidents you're seeing about and hearing about, the arrests that you're starting to hear more and more frequently, ladies and gentlemen, they will accelerate. They are accelerating because we have not taken this threat seriously. I will take this threat seriously. I will make sure that ISIS isn't spending their money on new weapons. They're spending their money on body bags, because that's what will happen if you put me as President of the United States. We will defeat ISIS. You need a leader who's going to stand up for the men and women in this country who have been left behind. I announced from a factory floor in Western Pennsylvania. And the reason I did was because the difference between 4 years ago and today, we've seen a continuation of the decline of the standard of living of people in the middle of America. The hollowing out that you hear the left talk about all the time. Well, sometimes the left may have a description, accurate description of the problem. They have rarely the accurate and correct conclusion and policy, but that doesn't mean that they aren't observing what is real. And what is real is that Americans have losing hope. Wages are flat. We see, 93 million Americans now not in the workplace. The highest number ever by far. Oh, sure, there's some areas that have good rates of unemployment, but there's lots of people sitting on the sidelines because they have no hope of getting back into the workforce and providing for themselves. The Democrats' response is all the same. Oh, we'll give you more money. We'll expand food stamps. We'll expand Medicaid. We'll expand all these things. People don't want more government handouts. They want the opportunity to be able to rise and work and provide for themselves and their family. And unfortunately, the Republican Party has been sort of empty in that regard. Let's just be honest. We talk about small businesses, and we talk about capital gains, and we talk about cutting taxes for high-income people. Businesses are important. We need to grow businesses. I have a plan called the 2020 Perfect Vision for America, which is a 20% flat tax on income and corporate income. Cut the corporate tax, cut the individual income tax. Take a blowtorch to the Internal Revenue Code, simplify this thing, get rid of corporate welfare, and give Americans a fair shot at growing this economy and getting good paying jobs. But here's my pledge to you. You elect me president, I'll lead. And I'll be able to lead and get things done because I have a track record of doing that in Washington, D.C., unlike anybody else in this race. I'm a tough conservative, but I know how to work with people and get things done. I was the author of welfare reform. We ended a federal entitlement. Why? Because we wanted to cut funds? No, that's not why I did it. Because I wanted to get people back to work. I wanted to provide incentives to be able to rise again in society. And guess what we did? Bill Clinton vetoed that bill twice. I managed it, I helped write most of it, and I worked over and over again. I kept saying, no, I'm not gonna give up. We're gonna continue to work to get this done because people in this country need it. And we eventually passed welfare reform, and what happened? The welfare rolls were cut in half. That's a good thing. But ladies and gentlemen, if that was all that happened and people just went into poverty, that would be a horrible bill. But that's not what happened. People went back to work. And in fact, 5 years after welfare reform, poverty was at its lowest level ever measured in the United States of America. You give me the opportunity to go out there with a pro-worker agenda that says America is going to be the number one manufacturing country in the world again. We're going to reclaim our presence of made in America and pride in American workmanship. We can do that here in America if we have a tax code, a regulatory environment, an energy policy, a trade policy that makes us competitive with the rest of the world. We will succeed in winning the battle. A lot of people talk tough about, oh, yeah, we're going to beat these people and beat those folks, and we're going to win this and win that. I have won those things. I have a plan, an actual plan that will put us back on top. And not just the folks who are wealthy, but every American, the opportunity to rise. You create manufacturing jobs in America, you're creating jobs for working men and women of all skill levels, and the opportunity to get skills and rise. That's why we had such a vibrant middle of America throughout the last century. Because we were a country that had growth in manufacturing and production. You see it here in Iowa. Just your agriculture economy, as it took off, your processing jobs. You saw unemployment go down, and you saw the middle get healthier here. But you're a little island, unfortunately, in most of America. We need to have that happen in Pennsylvania and Ohio and Michigan, et cetera. And by the way, if you do that, if you lay out that plan that I'm talking about, guess what states we have to win in order to win this election? We have to win Ohio and Pennsylvania and Michigan and Indiana. We have to win those states that we're always very close, but we never win. Why? Because we aren't talking about the people who are hurting in those states. We aren't talking about those states that have been suffering called the Rust Belt for the last 30 years. I come from the Rust Belt. I come from a steel town. My grandfather was a coal miner. My father was an immigrant to this country. You want to talk about someone who's going to go out and has gone out for their entire public career and fought for working men and women, those who are poor with welfare reform and other types of things to get people to rise, those who fought against bad trade bills like NAFTA, which I did, those who stood up to the establishment and exposed the corruption in the House, which I did, that caused for the leadership of the House, the Speaker of the House and the Chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, one to be defeated, the other one to end up in jail, and I was the one that led that charge to make that happen. You want someone who can shake things up and get things done, lead this country in a way that this country is just anxious and just boiling over, to have someone who leads for us, for the American people, to bring our pride back again, to give the opportunity for us to make things and produce things and to have our influence in the world be something that's going to make not just our country safer, but the world a better place. Ladies and gentlemen, you give me that opportunity in Iowa. 4 years ago, you did. 4 years ago, you gave me that opportunity. You ignored the polls. By the way, 4 years ago, there was a poll out today, and I was at 1% in the polls. 2 weeks before the Iowa caucuses and a national poll, I was at 2%. But the people of Iowa did your job. You listened to all the candidates. You shuffled through all of the rhetoric. You looked at who actually has accomplished something, has a vision for this country, and can make a difference in moving America forward. Can unite this country. You want to unite this country? You make America strong. You stand up for the values that made our country great. And you put people back to work at all levels of our society. You're going to get Democrats and Republicans to work together on something like that. I know, because I've done it. You give me the opportunity to do that in Washington, D.C. by putting us first here in Iowa, as you did before. Only I'd ask one thing. Please declare me the winner on caucus night, not 18 days later. You stand with me. You got it right last time. How do I know? Because the other folks who elected the other guys didn't get it right. We didn't win. You give us the opportunity to go to those states to make the case of America being a great country and being led by someone who is out there fighting for them. Ladies and gentlemen, we can have not just a great victory for the Republicans or the conservatives, but more importantly, we will have a great victory for America again, and we can start feeling good about this great country. Thank you all very much. God bless you. God bless America. And God bless Iowa. Thank you so much.